Good morning. It is great to be here. I'm feeling better. Yesterday, my throat was getting itchy and scratchy, and it was starting to hurt. And I actually had messaged a fellow ministerial and asked him if he would step in for me today. But it took a while before he answered my text, and then I deleted it before he could read it. So then here I am. And the Lord is good. He took that away from me, the scratchy throat. What a blessing. And this morning, what a blessing it is to come to wake up this morning, to take that breath, open the eyes. Mr. Dick there, he reminded me of that what a blessing it was today, that we could walk here, that we could come here and worship the Lord in freedom. Amazing. I would like to welcome you all this morning here and online. If there are visitors here, that they should feel welcome. I feel humbled to bring a message to you this morning. And excited to see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us today. I would like to greet you with these words from Galatians 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. My name is James Stace, and those who are going to be listening on CD, let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for what you did for us, that you finished a plan of salvation. We thank you that we can gather here in this house of God to worship your holy name in song and in word. We pray for the congregation to open their hearts for the Lord's leading. And we pray for the Sunday school teachers and children. We pray also for the newly baptized members to give them guidance and strength to follow you. We also want to pray for the government to seek your will. And we pray for that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide each and every one of us this day and the days to come. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess at this time we'll have two congregational songs.
Let's take our red hymnal and turn to number 395, In the Glory of Life's Morning. 395.
For the cause of Christ. Nearer, my God, to thee. 232. 232.
Thank you for those songs. As we see out there now, in the fields, we see the harvest. The harvest that God has blessed us with. He has given us so much. And now we need to gather it together. We need to be those laborers in the field, for the harvest, for his harvest. We need to be that. Start off in Genesis 8, verse 20. Genesis 8, verse 20 to 22. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So God promised that to Noah, that the harvest will always be. Noah responded to God's saving grace by building an altar. Those of us who have been saved from the wrath to come should likewise bring to God our heartfelt worship. It is as acceptable and pleasing today as it is to Noah in Noah's day. The Lord made a covenant that he would never again curse the ground or destroy every living thing, as he did. Also, he would provide regular seasons as long as the earth endured. God makes a covenant with Noah that seed time and harvest will not cease. And we can see that almost 6,000 years ago, God made that promise, and it's still happening today. We see the harvest that is going on now. The crops of the farmers that the farmers are harvesting are putting into storage. How that seed is multiplied. For example, we seed 3 bushels of wheat an acre, and we receive 90 to 100 bushels of at harvest time. How the Lord has blessed us again. And we can also say that what a blessing the Lord has given each and every one of us today, that we could come here and worship the Lord in peace. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38, we read, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The need for harvest workers. Jesus traveled throughout the cities and villages preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, mainly that he was the king of Israel, and that if the nation repented and acknowledged him, he would reign over them. An offer of the kingdom was made to Israel at this time. What would have happened if Israel had responded? The Bible does not give an answer for that question. We do not know, but we do know Christ would still have to die to provide for our salvation. As Christ taught and preached, he healed all kinds of sicknesses. Just as miracles characterized the first advent of the Messiah, the first coming of Jesus. In lonely place, in the lonely grace, so they will mark his second advent. His second coming will be in the power of great glory. As we gaze on Israel's multitude and helplessness, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. His great heart of compassion welcomed. His great heart of compassion went out to them. Oh, that we might know more of that yearning of the spiritual welfare of the lost and dying. How we need to pray constantly. A great work of spiritual harvest needed to be done, but the laborers are few. The problem was persistent to this day. It seems the need is always greater than the workforce. The Lord Jesus told his disciples to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Workers should not go until they are sent. Do we sometimes not hear when we are sent? And Jesus did not identify the Lord himself as Lord of the harvest. Matthew 10, verse 5, we read as, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus himself sends out the disciples. So it seems clear that Jesus himself is the one to whom we should pray in this manner of bringing out the word of God. Matthew 13, 24 to 30, we read this. It's another parable that Jesus has given for us. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. So let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." This parable is an illustration of the fact that the kingdom of heaven includes those who give only lip service to the king, as well as those who are his genuine disciples. The wheat are the true believers, and the tares are the non-believers. So the tares are sown at night while men sleep. The enemy tries to do this with us today. The most common tare found in grain fields in the Holy Land is the bearded barnel, a poisonous grass, almost indistinguishable from wheat. While the two are going into blade stages, but when they come into ear, they can be separated without difficulty. Just like today, the enemy will show its face. But do we recognize it? When the servants saw the tares mixed in with the wheat, they asked the householder how this happened. He immediately recognized it as the work from the enemy. The servants were ready to pull out the weeds immediately. It is the same with us today. How do we recognize the enemy? Only by studying the Word of God, then will we recognize the enemy. But the farmer ordered them to wait until the harvest. Then the reapers would separate the two. The wheat would be gathered into the barns, and the tares would be burnt. So why did the farmer order this delay in separation? In nature, the roots of the wheat and the tares are so intertwined that it is virtually impossible to pull out one without the other. We know that as well. If we plant something in the garden and it's small, the weeds grow up beside it. We pull out the weed, well, what comes with it? The good stuff that we're trying to grow. So then we stick it back in the ground and hopefully it will take root again. Matthew 13:37-43. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Jesus' interpretation of the wheat and the tare parable, Jesus identified himself as the sower. He sowed directly during his earthly ministry and has been sowing through his servants until now. In verse 38, we read that the field is the world. It is important to note that the field is the world and not the church. The good seeds means the sons of the kingdom. The point is that these sons of the spiritual kingdom were sown in the world during Jesus' public ministry. Jesus sowed the world with his disciples, who were loyal subjects of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. Satan has a counterfeit for every divine reality. He sows the world with those who look like, talk like, and to some extent walk like disciples, but they are not genuine followers of Jesus Christ. In verse 39, the enemy is Satan, the enemy of God and all the people of God. The harvest is the end of the age, the end of the kingdom, which will be when Jesus Christ shall return in glory and power to reign as king. In verse 40-42, the reapers are the angels. During the present phase of the kingdom, no forcible separation is made on the wheat and the tares. They are allowed to grow together. But at the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the angels will round up all causes of sin and all evildoers and throw them into the furnace of fire, where they will weep and gnash with their teeth. Verse 34, the righteous subjects of the kingdom who are on the earth during the tribulation will enter the kingdom of their Father to enjoy the millennium reign of Christ. There they will shine forth as sons. That is, they will be resplendent in glory. If we just imagine how glorious that will be. We try to imagine it, but we can't quite see it all, imagine it all, how glorious it will be. He gives us information in the Bible about it, but it's still, we cannot see the whole picture. At this point in time, we will continue with the harvest after a prayer. And those that are able, so let us kneel in prayer to the Father for whatever is on your hearts. So let us kneel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take your blue book and turn to number 483, He the Pearly Gates Will Open. Can we stand?
Thank you for that song. When I think about the harvest, when I talk to farmers, I work at John Deere in Altona, and I fix equipment for the farmers. And when a farmer has a combine or a tractor breakdown now in the season, he doesn't say mañana. We all know what mañana means. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we can do that. No. It's today. Today is harvest. Tomorrow might not be. Just like spiritually, souls. Today is the time of harvest. Tomorrow might never come. Tomorrow might be too late, but today. Mark 4, verse 26 to 29. Mark 4, 26 to 29. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and shall sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So we may picture the Lord Jesus casting the seed on the earth during his public ministry, then returning to heaven. The seed brain begins to grow from a small beginning. A harvest of true believers develops. Then the grain ripens, and the harvest will be taken to the heavenly gardener. Or the parable might be intended to encourage the disciples. Their responsibility is to sow the seed, just like us. We need to sow that seed of Jesus Christ. They may sleep by night and raise by day, knowing that God's word will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he has intended it to do by the purpose, by the proceeds of God's word. It works in the human heart, in the heart, producing fruit for God. Man plants and waters, but God gives the increase. They always say that when a person hits a thumb or a finger with a hammer, what comes out of the heart is the first thing that comes out. We don't, like most of us don't say, bless God for hitting my finger. I don't think that comes out first. It's like, man, that hurts. At least for me it is. Next time, I'll keep my fingers home. So it's what in the heart that comes out. If we have God's word in our heart, that's what will come out. Welcome. Luke 10, 1 to 5. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest, into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. So Jesus sent out them two by two, the Lord's servant should constantly pray that he will send out laborers. We should constantly pray that Jesus will send out laborers into his harvest field. The need is always greater than the supply of workers. In praying for laborers, we must be willing to go ourselves. Obviously, note, pray and go. Don't just go, but we need to pray and go. The disciples of Jesus are sent forth into a hostile environment. They are to outward appearances like defenseless lambs among the wolves. They cannot expect to be treated like royalty by the world, but to be persecuted and even killed. The disciples were to go out with nothing extra. God will provide. Do we believe that? That God will provide? They were to be courteous and civil. They must use their time wisely to proclaim the gospel rather than to profitless talk, because it was urgent. The time was now of harvest. There is no time for needless displays. It's like the old saying, time is money. Get to work. Make hay when the sun is shining. John 4, verse 32 to 37. In the meanwhile, this disciple prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not, yea, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. So if you think about that, 4 months, I think it was probably almost 4 months ago that we started seeding. And it takes that long for it to mature. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he and the sower and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one sower and one soweth and the other reapeth. So the son's delight in doing his father's will. Now the disciples were back with the food and they encouraged the Lord to eat. The Lord Jesus had found food. The support in winning worshipers to the Father. Compared to the joy of physical nourishment, was of little importance to him. We get what we go for after in life. If we go after money, that's what we get. If we go after the Lord, we will get the Lord. The disciples were interested in food and came back with it. Jesus was interested in souls. He was interested in saving men and women from sin and giving them the water of everlasting life. He too found what he went after. What are we interested in? Revelations 14, 13 to 18. Revelations 14:13-18. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And the other angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him and that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was ripe. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Believers who die during this period, will not miss out on the blessings. Everything that we have done for Christ in his name will be rewarded. Christ is here seeing descended on a cloud, white cloud. The time of the harvest is now. The fields are ripe. We need to bring out the word of God. The harvest of judgment is coming soon. The blessing of God is freely available to all who seek him today. Jesus' word explains the requirements of having a full assurance of securing God's blessing and experiencing his salvation. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. To draw near means to spend time in communion with God through prayer each day. A true heart is clean, having repented of past sins. It inspires living with love of what is right. Those who sincerely walk with God can have full assurance of faith. God will watch over them as the apple of his eye. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. He found in him a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led him about and instructed him to keep him as the apple of his eye. These blessings are his promise. If we keep true to him, we will be his apple of his eye. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your holy word. I ask you that you would forgive me if I have spoken wrongly. And I also pray that this message would be to your honor and glory. And I also pray for that Holy Spirit would lead and guide us in this week. Everywhere we may go. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. We do not have to pray here or at home, but we can pray day and night, whatever time. So let us kneel in silent prayer and ask the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 329, Saved by the Blood. 329.
Good morning. First off, I'd like to thank Brother James for coming out this morning and bringing us his message, or the Lord's message. And also would like to thank the pianists and the song leaders again for leading us in singing this morning. And just a few short announcements. Our summer looks like it's coming to an end, and it's picnic time. So September 7th at noon in the Winkler Park, we'll be having our church picnic, which is coming up next Sunday. So please bring your lawn chairs and a salad or dessert to share. And also, after the service, if there's anyone interested in helping at the church picnic, feel free to just contact one of the committees, the picnic committee members, and that is Henry and Marge Banman, and Jake and Chris Clausen, and Susanna and myself. So if you're interested in helping, just contact one of us or come and see us at the picnic. And also today is potluck lunch after this service. And then coming this Tuesday, there's going to be the first Sunday school teacher meeting of this fall season. So all the Sunday school teachers, just take note of that. And then there's a service opportunity. The Sunday school is in need of one more teacher for class 18, which is the 8-year-old students. Please come see Henry Cron or Peter Martins after the service if you're interested. So in Sunday school is always in need. And if you feel God leading you to be a teacher, contact one of the superintendents. And then in the back of the bulletin, there's items for prayer. So there's Peter Martins, the father of Jake Martins. Peter's having a hard time walking. He's also suffering because of cancer. So let's keep him in our prayers. And then also, please pray for the family that is in desperate need of unity, forgiveness, God's guidance, and restoration. Pray for opportunity to cultivate close-knit relationships, to all together for God to give the parents the right tools and words to be able to lead in the right direction and to make this a reality. We are praying for God to work miracles, and we kindly ask you to pray along with us for this to happen. We thank all of you in advance for your prayers. And then there's an amazing praise item here for Tierra and Jordan Cron and family. She had a surgery to remove a tumor from her spinal cord. This surgery is at the Mayo Clinic. Please keep her and her family in your prayers through post-surgery rehabilitation. So that's a huge success. That's a huge praise item. So there's a lot to be thankful for. And also prayers and condolences to the family and friends of Katie Ginter. Please keep praying for Salem Home, and they will be able to find more nurses, and also for all ministerial and families. And also keep all Sunday school students and youth, teachers, and the leaders in your prayers, as well as our government that gives us this freedom that we have. Keep them all in your prayers. So with that, I'd just like to thank everyone for coming out this morning. Thank you, and God bless.
Take the red hymnal and turn to 555, We Praise Thee, O God. Let's all stand.
Amen.
thank you for that, for coming up here. Thank you, you revived everybody here this morning. We thank you for that. And I have nothing more else to bring to you this morning but to thank you for being an attentive audience, for listening to the word. And I just want to give you the benediction now. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, the Lord loves you.